Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online. This is Highland Radio.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council say they're going to write to the Housing Minister urging him to carry out an independent statutory judicial public inquiry into the defective concrete block crisis which is affecting thousands of homeowners. A Donegal deputy has said the recent visit by Housing Minister James Brown to Donegal was a positive step forward for those impacted by the defective concrete block issue. A coffee van at Harbord Road, Bunbeg, was destroyed in a fire on Friday night, and Taoiseach Simon Harris has been given approval from the Cabinet to begin drafting the Occupy Territories Bill. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have the latest sports news at around 15:15. But first, Donegal County Council say they are going to write to the Housing Minister urging him to carry out an independent statutory judicial public inquiry into the defective concrete block crisis which is affecting thousands of homeowners. It's after a motion was brought forward by Councillor Frank McBurtie yesterday. Michaela Clark has more.
Councillor Frank McBurtie told members yesterday that the victims of the defective concrete block crisis are entitled to an independent statutory judicial public inquiry. He says the scandal, labelled incorrectly as the Mica Freeze Thaw scandal, must be fully explored and answers provided. Councillor McBurtie says the government must be forced to establish such an investigation, starting with when the quarry, construction and concrete industry became self-regulated. He says experts and individuals appointed by the NSAI must also be held to account for establishing the IS 465 standard, which he says does not identify the true cause of the crisis. Donegal County Council has agreed to write to the Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, James Brown, after the motion was passed unanimously.
Meanwhile, a Donegal deputy has said the recent visit by Housing Minister James Brown to Donegal was a positive step forward for those impacted by the defective concrete block issue. Deputy Charles Ward says the meeting showed a commitment from the Minister in amending the bill to improve the IS 465 scheme to reflect necessary changes. He also asked Taoiseach Micheál Martin for a timeline for when the rates and caps bill to be enacted and when homeowners can expect to receive their retrospective payments. Deputy Ward says homeowners need answers.
Taoiseach, I've highlighted the issue. Urgent changes need to be made to the defective concrete scheme on a few occasions now on the floor here. I would like to acknowledge the engagement of the Housing Minister in this matter. Minister Brown's visit to Donegal was a very positive step, and his commitment to amending the bill to improve the scheme and reflect the necessary changes by the standard of IS 465 is very reassuring to the impact homeowners. I would be grateful if you'd give me a timeline for both of these bills to combine the 10% retrospective payment and the defective concrete bill. And when do you expect the rates and caps bill to be enacted, and when the homeowners can expect to receive their retrospective payments? And what timeline for drafting the legislation for the updated concrete defective concrete scheme will it reflect the necessary changes required to the standard of IS 465?
Thank you, Deputy Taoiseach.
My understanding is the Minister did visit Donegal recently and had understanding constructive engagement with all involved, and work is underway now within the department, and I'll ask the Minister to maybe revert to you in respect of specific timelines around the legislation.
A coffee van at Harbour Road, Bunbeg, was destroyed in a fire on Friday night. The blaze broke out at approximately 11:45. Gardaí are investigating the possibility that the fire may have been started deliberately. On today's 9 till noon show, Garda Grainne Doherty issued this appeal for information.
This incident happened on the Harbour Road in Bunbeg on Friday the 23rd of May in and around 11:45pm. So Gardaí were alerted by the fire services. They attended the scene of a fire at a coffee van at that location. And it was quite extensively damaged, the coffee van, as a result of
which
the fire.
Which is someone's business.
It is, of course, yeah. It's their lifeline, possibly, yeah. And it hasn't been ruled out that this may have been started maliciously. So our investigations are ongoing. We're appealing again. Every appeal, we're looking for dash cam footage. It's invaluable to us as part of our investigations. So if anybody was in that area, and if they had a dash cam, between 11pm and midnight on that date, If they can contact Gardaí in Bunbeg on 074 953 1333 or if anybody has any relevant information, we'd like to hear from them.
Taoiseach Simon Harris has been given approval from the Cabinet to begin drafting the Occupied Territories Bill. However, the scope of the government's version will only cover goods, not services. It comes as Israel's efforts to allow a small amount of aid into Gaza have been described as cynical optics by UNICEF. Simon Harris is hoping other EU countries will follow Ireland's lead.
I think it's also imperative now that other countries across Europe consider doing similar. Countries that share our views in relation to human rights, share our views in relation to international law, and share our views in relation to a two-state solution.
Meanwhile, at yesterday's meeting of Donegal County Council, Councillor Declan Meehan called for the Central Bank of Ireland to immediately end the regulation of the Israeli bond issuance programme. Councillor Meehan says all ties need to be cut with the genocide in Gaza and the Central Bank needs to be held to account. The motion was unanimously supported and the Council has agreed to write to the Central Bank on the matter. A Donegal woman who died in a crash on the A5 on Saturday is to be laid to rest later this week. 82-year-old Bernie Cranley from Lifford was killed in the two-car collision on the Mellon Road between Omagh and Newton Stewart. Her funeral will take place on Thursday afternoon in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 3 o'clock. Four board members of Children's Health Ireland have resigned in the past week, representing almost half of the board. Three members gave resignation letters to the Health Minister this morning, while a fourth stepped down last week. It follows controversies around the use of spinal springs, thresholds for child hip surgeries, and the overruns and delays at the National Children's Hospital. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the hip dysplasia issue goes to the heart of medical healthcare in Ireland.
Why were children operated on that didn't require any operation? It's incomprehensible, unethical. It's just unacceptable. We've got to get to the bottom of this because it goes to the heart of trust and confidence in our health system and in clinical judgment and clinical performance.
Donegal County Council has confirmed that the preparation of a business case for Letterkenny Fire Station is underway. It's expected that will be completed by mid-July. Councillors have backed a call from Jerry McMonagall, who has asked Fire Service Management to halt any planned operational capacity changes at the station until the business case is completed. The Donegal Firefighters Association in March warned that planned cuts to the service would threaten public safety. Councillor McMonagall says it's vital the service is properly resourced.
There's been a lot of concern around the recent announcements that there could be changes. And after the WRC agreement and with the levels of fire service, the operating models, it's six on and six off. And that isn't enough to be covering the town of Letterkenny and surrounding areas.
You believe now that those at the cold face, their views and their voices should be heard now in further discussions?
Yeah, I think they do. And I think today the commitment from the management is to say that the business case will be concluded by mid-July and that it will be presented to us in a workshop here. It'll be very good news for the fire service fighters in Letterkenny. If you know, Letterkenny's a large town with universities, a large hospital and many, many housing estates. So it's very incumbent on us to ensure that there's the proper level of cover for all of those eventualities that may arise.
And especially for people out there, residents in Letterkenny, I'm sure they're living in fear at the moment because they don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, look, we've heard the concerns from the firefighters, the people who are at the cold face, as you say, and we need to heed them. We need to listen to what they're saying, and hopefully they and the management now can sit down and discuss a proper way forward. And I hope that this business case will point in the right direction.
A decision to approve Donegal County Council's Tourism Strategy 2025 to 2030 has been deferred due to the omission of a number of sites from a list of key visitor attractions in the county. The strategy sets out a roadmap for the development of tourism with a vision to create a vibrant, regenerative and sustainable sector which positively impacts Donegal's economic, social, cultural and environmental well-being. Figures included in the plan show that there were almost 700,000 visitors to tourist attractions across Donegal in 2023. That figure, however, is said to be much higher. Many visitor attractions were not taken into consideration, such as Fanna Lighthouse, the Wild Alpaca Way, and most notably Malin Head, Ireland's most northerly point. Councillor Martin McDermott says this raises serious questions over the consideration being given to Inishowen in the strategy.
At the end of the day, Malin Head is Ireland's most northernmost point. How can we leave such a destination out of a strategy, a figure that shows the numbers that's coming into all different areas of the county, and we left Malin Head out? I think that has to be questioned. I think I'm very disappointed to see that, and I think that that needs to be rectified before any strategy is passed here at council, because the implications of that could be very, very big.
The Central Criminal Court has heard a brother of Joseph Pushka apologise to Gardaí for lying about not seeing him on the evening of Aisling Murphy's murder. Lubomir Pushka is accused of withholding crucial information during the investigation into the 23-year-old schoolteacher's murder in Tullamore in 2022. Our court's correspondent Frank Rainey reports.
At the time of Aisling Murphy's murder, Joseph Pushka was living just outside Tullamore with his two brothers Marek and Lubomir. Their wives and children also lived in the house. In the first of two voluntary statements after she was murdered on the 12th of January 2022, Lubomir Pushka told Gardaí that Joseph was a bit sad that morning and seemed to him as someone with a problem he didn't want to share. He told the detectives investigating Aisling Murphy's murder that he didn't see Joseph again that day and became concerned when he didn't return home that evening. However, the next day he revealed that he had lied about that. He said Joseph did return home that night and looked as though he'd been beaten up. He apologised for lying and said he felt better for telling the truth. Lubomir Pushka denies withholding information from the investigation team, including that Joseph returned home that evening with visible injuries.
There are calls for an additional public holiday to be introduced to bring Ireland closer to the EU average. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh has proposed a public holiday to be held on the first weekend of July in honour of St Colmkill. He believes it is appropriate given that the other two national saints, St Patrick and St Bridget, are recognised. Councillor Kavanagh says a long weekend would present a particularly good opportunity to market Donegal in terms of its links with St Colmkill.
If we wanted to attract people into the county and to follow things around the story of St Colmkill, I think we need to get them into Donegal for a long weekend to do things like Slea, Colmkill and so on, and to visit the places associated with them.
There could be a job selling this to IBEC employers, organisations and those in the business community who may say, hang on a tick, we're pinned to the back of our collars already in terms of the pressures being put on us. Another bank holiday is something we can't sustain.
Yeah, I thought about that too, Dylan, and I said, yeah, and obviously that probably would be an issue for some employers if it meant another day off or if it meant double pay. I think there's a benefit to having, say, the first Monday in July, that it would be a boost, I think, across much of the tourism sector and the hospitality sector and so on. So I honestly think the benefits would outweigh the problems.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after the short break. The time is coming up to 16 minutes past five. Mark is here with the latest sports news.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with tennis. 24-time Grand Slam winner Novak Djokovic is through to round two at the French Open after a straight sets win over American Mackenzie McDonald. Britain's Cameron Norrie has beaten 11th seed Daniil Medvedev to advance to the second round. He triumphed in the fifth set 7-5 to win against the Russian for the first time in his career. Women's second seed Coco Gauff is through in straight sets. She won 6-2, 6-2 against Australia's Olivia Gadecki. And Russian teenager Mira Andreeva also made it to the second round with a straight sets win over Spain's Kristina Buxa. In soccer, Shamrock Rovers have completed the signing of striker John McGovern from Dungannon Swifts. The 22-year-old from Newry scored 14 league goals in 29 games in the Irish League last season and also scored in their recent Irish Cup final win over Cliftonville. McGovern will be available to play for Rovers from the 1st of July.
Absolutely delighted. It's a massive club, and when the opportunity came knocking, it was a no-brainer to come here. So it was always something that interested me, coming to play full-time football, and thankfully the opportunity arose and I've taken it.
Former Manchester United forward Teddy Sheringham says their Europa League final defeat to Tottenham was a catastrophic result for them. Their dismal season saw them fall short in Europe and finish 15th in the Premier League. Sheringham says the defeat in Bilbao has made things a whole lot tougher when it comes to this summer's rebuild.
Man United was the club to go to. Everyone would have jumped at a chance, but not in Europe, not in Champions League, not in Europa League, and looking like a struggling club. You know, all you've got now is the money to chuck at them. They need leaders in the football club.
Sadio Mane will not play for Senegal in the upcoming internationals against the Republic of Ireland and England. The Al Nassr forward has asked to be excused for the two friendly matches. There are returns to the squad for Chelsea striker Nicholas Jackson and Illiman Ndiaye from Everton. Mary Earp says playing for England has been the greatest honour of her life, but now is the time for the younger generation after announcing her retirement from international football. The 32-year-old helped the Lionesses win the Euros in 2022 and won the Golden Glove at the Women's World Cup in 2023. England defender Jess Carter admits the squad were surprised by Earp's decision.
Mary's an incredible person, an incredible goalkeeper. So I think I'm just sad that she's not going to be here. Really, I always look forward to seeing her. And I felt like she was a goalkeeper that never really got much support or anything. And she continued to work so hard to get to where she has. So yeah, I'm really sad that she's not going to be there.
In golf, Rasmund Højgaard has confirmed he'll be back in Ireland to defend his Amgen Irish Open title. This year's event sees a return to the K Club in Kildare in September. The 24-year-old's success at Royal County Down last year was his fifth DP World Tour title as he edged out home favourite Rory McIlroy by a single shot. In cycling, Italian rider Christian Scaroni won today's 16th stage of the Giro d'Italia. Tyrone's Darren Rafferty finished 40th in today's stage as Mexican rider Isaac Del Toro retained the race leader's pink jersey. Finally, in horse racing, there are two meetings this evening. The first of an 8-race card at Ballinrobe has just gone to post, while the first of 7 races in Tipperary goes to post at 5:20. That's all your sport for today. Back with more tomorrow morning during the 8:30 news. Kitty.
Thanks, Mark. Gardaí are investigating the recent theft of oil burner motors and ignition starters from a number of properties in the area of Earlsford Buncrana at the weekend. The thefts are believed to have occurred between 3:30 and 4:30 on Sunday morning. Gardaí and Buncrana are appealing for dashcam footage from between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. on that date, and in particular they are interested in hearing from anyone who may have observed a man in the area on foot who was of slim build and wearing a hat. They're also keen to hear from anyone who may have observed suspicious activity, vehicles or people in the area in the early hours of Sunday morning, or from anyone who comes across these types of items for sale on a second-hand basis. An aid agency in Gaza says its workers are impacted as aid is restricted in the territory. It comes as the UN says it doesn't have any information on an Israeli-US plan to distribute aid. It follows claims that Gazan Humanitarian Foundation, a private organisation, started providing supplies in the enclave. UNICEF spokesperson James Elder says everyone is affected by shortages.
But my colleagues are all losing weight and they work 18-hour days. I had colleagues who spent 36 hours to go to the border, wait under military supervision, and then to bring supplies back. But yeah, the frustration because of what they see as you drive through that apocalyptic zone because of the children that they know have that need. I mean, that's what frontline workers do.
Donegal County Council has approved the construction of new social homes in West Donegal. 19 units are to be delivered in Derrybeg in 2 phases. The first phase will comprise of 12 units being built, with second phase to be completed at a later date. While welcoming the progress, Councillor Micheál Colm-McGillaspig says he had hoped works could have been completed in a single phase.
I was glad to propose the development of the homes at Sea View Joe and Gador at the Yiga Cryerin. But I have to be very honest, where I am not happy about is that this is done in 3 phases. The first phase being 12 homes, the second phase then being 7 homes, and then the last phase being the independent living. And that's not acceptable. We're not building hundreds of homes here. Overall, we're building basically 20 units. I believe strongly that we could do this in one go. I believe strongly that we shouldn't have to wait for a scare in relation to putting in the sewer infrastructure that Gador is badly starved of. We have the ability within our staff to put in the sewer and to build these homes. When certain people sit down and they say lines and numbers, I work with people who are homeless, I work with people who are in poor rented accommodation, I work with people who can't afford to pay rent, and it's not acceptable that we're doing this at a number of phases.
Donegal County Council has agreed to write to the Minister for Education and Minister for Children to express concern regarding the rising use of smartphones and social media among children. Councillor Brian Carr says the recent Netflix show Adolescence highlighted the impact smartphones and social media can have on young people. He's asking what plans or policies the government has to protect the well-being of children. Councillor Carr has praised the efforts of one local group who have been targeting smartphone use in schools.
This last two and a half years now, there's been a group in Glenties, Ardra and Leslie McAward, that's trying to implement the likes of this, and their main aim is to not give mobile phones to children until after primary school. And they've been trying to do this now for a number of years. They've done lots and lots of work, lots of research and everything on this. But they need the government to step up, put a law in place so that they can work with this law to implement no phones in national schools until, you know, you reach secondary school at least.
And the benefits of this have already been seen by this group?
It has, yeah. St Columba's Comprehensive School have brought in up into junior cert level, and even in that, they can see in the corridors at break times between classes that the children are interacting more, they're talking more, they're laughing rather than their heads down, just stuck in gadgets. And, you know, even my own lads at school, and children in his class, he's only nine, children in his class has mobile phones. It's okay, you need a phone maybe to text or call your parents, but you don't need a phone to be able to look at some of the vile content that's on and shared, and 14-year-olds, 12-year-olds sharing and watching some of these things. It's just, you know, it needs to be addressed now, and after national school, no mobile phones until after national school.
A campaign has been launched to protect students from rental scams. AMLE, the Irish Council for International Students, and Threshold have teamed up for the annual Scam Watch awareness campaign. There's a particular focus on first-year students and students not from Ireland who might be new to the rental market. Nathan Murphy, Vice President of Campaigns at AMLE, says there are red flags to look out for.
Solely dealing with a homeowner over text, them not wanting to call you, them saying you can't visit the room because there's someone currently in it. Make sure to ask for photos, look on Google Maps, see, make sure that it actually is the place that they're saying it is. They will ask for like your deposit and your first month's rent, and like that is all they can ask. They can't ask for any more months in advance.
Police say they've established how a man managed to drive his car into pedestrians during Liverpool's trophy parade last night. A 53-year-old man's being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving whilst unfit through drink or drugs. Officers have also revealed 11 of 65 injured people remain in hospital and are in a stable condition. Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims has this update.
It is believed the driver of the Ford Galaxy car involved was able to follow an ambulance after the roadblock was temporarily lifted so that the ambulance crew could attend to a member of the public who was having a suspected heart attack.
Local protests could be on the horizon in some holiday towns and villages in response to the large number of short-term rentals in these areas. An International Department of Tourism document released to the Irish Times has warned housing constraints caused by unmanaged short-term lettings may result in tourism protests. The internal briefing document also warns a lack of regulation of properties advertised on the likes of Airbnb will stop tourist numbers being managed appropriately in the future. Labour Housing spokesperson Conor Sheehan says people from these areas deserve the chance to live in these communities.
But we need to strike a balance here whereby young people in particular are able to rent and to live and to buy in the communities where they grew up, because that's really important for the sustainability of these communities.
And now for the weather, remaining mostly cloudy today with some scattered showers and a good deal of dry weather developing later. Fairly cloudy early tonight with some showers or scattered outbreaks of rain. It will become drier and clear later in the night, lowest temperatures of 7 to 11 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, Donegal County Council say they are going to write to the Housing Minister, urging him to carry out an independent statutory judicial public inquiry into the defective concrete block crisis, which is affecting thousands of homeowners. It's after a motion was brought forward by Councillor Frank McBurty yesterday. A Donegal deputy has said the recent visit by Housing Minister James Brown to Donegal was a positive step forward for those impacted by the defective concrete block issue. Deputy Charles Ward says the meeting showed a commitment from the minister in amending the bill to improve the IS 465 scheme to reflect necessary changes. A coffee van at Harbour Road, Bunbeg, was destroyed in a fire on Friday night. The blaze broke out at approximately 11:45 p.m. And Taoiseach Simon Harris has been given approval from the Cabinet to begin drafting the Occupied Territories Bill. However, the scope of the government's version will only cover goods, not services. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 27th of May. The death has taken place of Big Pat Logue, 30, Sperrin View, Sign Mills, reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 25 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sign Mills, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. No mass cards or flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Famine Box in Teresa's Church, care of Quigley's Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.